What an honor to be here at Central Baptist Church. It's good to see each and every one of you. I really have fond memories of this place. My son graduated from New England Baptist College, and then my daughter came here to work as a secretary, and she met Tim Powell. So if you want to know who I am the father of Rebecca Powell. Amen. That takes care of everything, right? But they send you their love, and certainly this is a wonderful place. And we appreciate your pastor and his wife, and Joel and Sarah, who is one of our little girls that came to our church in Peekskill. And then the Lord led her to serve the Lord, went to college and found Joel, and he's never been the same since, right? And we love them and thank God for them and rejoice in what God is doing here. When I heard that New England Baptist College was starting, it thrilled my heart. Because what a great need New England has. And I'm so glad that you folks have given yourselves and your money and your prayers and your input and encouragement in reaching New England with the gospel of Jesus Christ and send preachers out that they might preach the word of God and that we might still see souls saved. But it will not happen unless we are revived. Take your Bibles and go to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. I'd like us to stand for the reading of this chapter. As we read it, I want you to really think about what Peter is saying. We are living in perilous times, we know that. The title of my message is, What on Earth is This World Coming To? And God knows exactly what this world is coming to. There's no doubt in my mind that God is aware of everything that's happening and He is not out of control. Notice with me, the second epistle, beloved, and that's a tender term, beloved, you'll see it through this chapter. I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are what? They're ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, notice, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Boy, that's a tall order, isn't it? An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are sometimes hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, it is time for you to work. May we open our hearts to the truth of your word. And while it seems as though this world is going crazy, we know that you are stable, and in you we rest. Bless this message. Use it for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We certainly are living in a day and in a world that is pretty much ready to implode. It has been said by some that they would take our country through our youth and through the false teaching of secular humanism. And boy, we're there. We're living in a day when we must realize that God is greater than man. He's greater than any nation, and he knows the end from the beginning. So we don't have anything to worry about. Oh, we may suffer a little bit. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Let it come. Let it come. There are those just in the last month that have been killed because of their faith in Afghanistan. And these people have made a statement something like this: what Jesus did for me, I'm willing to do for him. And with no remorse, with no recanting, with no desire to get out of the persecution, they succumbed to it. Hebrews 11 gives us a great example of that, doesn't it? The Bible says that some of them were even sawn asunder. And they did it for the glory of Almighty God. They realized who their Redeemer was, and they knew where they were going. And boy, is that encouraging. In this pandemic, even pastors have died because of COVID, but they have received a great reward, haven't they? And in the midst of all of this, we must not put our heads down, but we must stand true to the wonderful Word of God. If you're taking notes, I have 4 points that I'd like to give you, and I'd like you to write them down. The first thing we see in this passage of Scripture is cynical scoffers. Mark it down. There has always been cynical scoffers. It started out with Satan in Genesis chapter 3, didn't it? Cynical scoffers questioning the validity of God, questioning the truth of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Oh, they're out there. In fact, the Bible tells us, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They make a nasty statement, where is the promise of his coming? Nothing's changed. Oh, I must say to you that a lot of things have changed. We've come to the day where evil is now good. And good has become evil.
Oh, we see it. We're experiencing it. We are experiencing it ourselves. And as the days of the ark, when Noah was preparing the ark for the saving of his family, I think he wanted others to be saved too, but they rejected and they scoffed and they mocked at him until the door was shut by God and they could not get in. Oh, all of a sudden they wanted what Noah had, but it was too late. And oh, I can't help but believe when the rapture of the church comes, when those that are saved are raptured, there's going to be a lot of people that had wished they had embraced the Lord Jesus. But they're scoffers. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 1, but there were false prophets also among them, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Oh, we are living in a day of damnable heresies. I saw a little poster that people were using at an event promoting abortion. And they said, if Mary had just aborted Jesus, we wouldn't have to put up with this Christianity. Can it get more vile than that? Oh, that's the heart of man. The Bible says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We are living in a time of cynical scoffers, but they need Jesus. Amen. They need Jesus. The only thing they're missing is Christ. My wife and I were sitting along the North Sea there in Berwick, Scotland. And this lady was coming along walking her dog. And she said, what brings you to Berwick? And I said, I'm preaching at the Baptist Church down the street over here. And I'd like to invite you to come and worship with us tomorrow. And she said, oh, almost in disgust. She said, I'm a humanist. As though she was proud of it. And she was. I said, really? You're a humanist? She said, yes. She said, we determine our own destiny. I said, you are right. If you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you get to go to heaven. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you get to go to hell. She didn't like that. But was it the truth? Oh, we must proclaim the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. I preach the truth. And she wanted to change the subject immediately. I was in England preaching in a church there. They were without a pastor. Their pastor had booked me, and then he came back to the States. So I'm preaching for him on a Sunday through Wednesday, and I was standing out walking around the property there, and a postman pulled up. And he said, I've got some mail for you. He said, are you the new pastor? I said, no, but I'm preaching here on Sunday. He said, I'm an atheist. I said, you are? You are an atheist? He said, yes. As though he was very proud of not believing there's a God. And so I just simply said, you know, the Bible talks about atheists. He said, it does? I said, yes. The Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. He said, well, I guess I'm a fool then. I said, sir, you don't need to be foolish. God loves you, and he sent his son Jesus to die for you, and he wants to be your Savior. He said, have a good day, and away he took off. He is not going to drive by that church.
without thinking about that. Amen. Did you know you've got to get a person lost before you can see them saved? The cynical scoffers have a heart just like you. It's just they don't know Jesus. And how will they ever know unless we tell them? Amen. We've got to be vocal about the gospel of Christ. Whenever you think of someone that would not like your position as a Christian, you need to love them. And listen, we are here not to just be inside these four walls and not take the gospel out. I think we fail a lot of times. Why don't you give your testimony on Facebook? Make sure it's only 2.5 minutes, amen? But share how you got saved. Thousands of people will see it, and you will be evangelizing the world, your little world. Listen, I've got over 2,000 on my Facebook, and I know that many of you have far more than that, and everyone that shares it, it goes to that many more. Why can't we evangelize the world in 2021? We need to see skeptics saved and scoffers saved. Number two, I want you to notice a sensitive Savior. Oh, I'm amazed at how loving and tender and kind Jesus is. I want you to notice this, verse 8 and 9. We see a sensitive Savior. Look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, notice, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that amazing? God still loves sinners. Do you really believe that? Remember something. If you're a sinner, you qualify to be saved. Yeah. Yeah. You can get saved. I was preaching last Sunday, and I made that statement. And there were two men and one woman in the congregation that were lost. After one of the men got saved, he came up to me and he said, you know what made the difference in me getting saved? Was the fact that you said, if you're a sinner, you qualify to be saved. He said, I never looked at it that way. His attitude was that God is holy and he hates sin, so he probably doesn't like me either. But Jesus came to save sinners. And you qualify today if you're not saved. Jesus loves you so much that he doesn't want you to go to hell. He will forgive you of all of your sin. You say, do I have to repent of every single sin? Just repent that you're a sinner. That'll cover it. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of our sin is death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's salvation in Jesus Christ for a lost, wicked, sinful world. You say, well, I'm not a bad person. Well, just ask somebody next to you, am I a sinner? And believe me, they'll let you know you are. As good as you can be, your morality, your good works are not good enough to save your soul. And the person that thinks more highly of themselves than they think of Christ is in serious trouble. Because Jesus gave his life. And he suffered and bled and died and rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting for your confession of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Would you write down four words I give you? They all begin with the letter R. Four words that begin with the letter R. Number one, people must realize they're a sinner in need of a Savior. No one's saved until they realize they're lost. Number two, repent. The Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance. When you see your life, not through your eyes, but through the eyes of God and through the Word of God, you find you're in need of a Savior. And when you say, Lord, I am sorry for the sins that hung Jesus on the cross, my sins, I'm sorry for my sins. And I'm repenting of my sin. Number three, write down the word receive. Receive. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible makes it very clear that you can be saved. You can ask Him to come into your life and say, Lord Jesus, I take You, knowing that I cannot save myself, and I'm receiving You as my Savior and what You did for me. He paid the price for our sin, and He loves You and wants to be your Savior. Oh, when you receive Him, when you really receive Him, and many of you can say amen to this. Number four, you can rejoice. I'd like to ask a question. Where's all the happy Christians? I see some that look like they need to be saved. I'm not talking about here, of course. I've witnessed to saved people before. Oh, I'm saved. Oh, you are? When did that happen? I was talking to one fellow. I said, are you saved? He goes, yes, I'm saved. I said, when'd you get saved? He said, I was in a terrible car accident and God saved my life. I said, no doubt you were saved from that car wreck. But what about realizing that you're a sinner, repenting of your sin, receiving Jesus Christ and Him alone? He said, I have never done that. Isn't that something? And he got saved. I'm simply saying to all of us here today that all of us need to be witnesses to people that need the Lord. You say, well, I've done that and it didn't work. Well, that's where prayer kicks in. I commit everything to the Lord. Amen. Lost family members, my own family. I say, Lord, You said casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. I'm going to trust You, Lord, to take care of everything. How many believe God's greater than you are? That's why He says don't worry about anything and pray about everything with thanksgiving. And then the peace of God will come. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. You'll come to that place in your life where you will be at peace and people will see your joy instead of your turmoil and being up and down and hot and cold. I had a man in my church one time said to me, I'm never going to get saved. I said, why? He said, my wife's a hypocrite. She lives one way over here at the church, but I have to live with her. I said, I wouldn't go to hell for her. Amen. I wouldn't let her let me go to hell. Get around her and get to Jesus. Quit making excuses why you won't get saved. Amen. Yeah, I believe he got saved before he died. Yeah. But he struggled. He struggled with getting saved. If that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. And I think some Christians really hinder the cause of Jesus Christ and the salvation of even loved ones. Remember this, Jesus is a sensitive Savior, and His love far outweighs His wrath. In Isaiah 30:18, you don't need to turn there, but I want you to remember three words in that passage: gracious, mercy, and judgment. God always deals with us in grace. Grace is described as the unmerited favor of God. God's riches at Christ's expense. God is so gracious to us. He's gracious to us when we deserve His mercy. His mercy is when we come to a place where we're really in trouble and yet he's holding back his wrath. But I must say to you, there's coming a day when wrath or mercy wears out. And then you'll experience the judgment of God. And I would say to every one of us, let's not mess with God. Let's find out what he said and let's live it. Let's quit justifying things that are against his word. Amen. Let's not take our penknife to God's word. Because God's word is true. Every word is true. A sensitive Savior. Number three, I want you to notice we see serious judgments coming. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away in a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Serious judgments coming. He also mentions again that the elements will melt with fervent heat in verse 12. He is wanting us to realize that the Lord is coming back. We believe that we're going to be raptured. Then the tribulation period, the judgment of God is going to be poured out. But what's he saying to us? Because serious judgment and wrath is going to be poured out, we need to make sure that we are ready to be delivered from all of that. Amen. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But folks, when you think about how long-suffering and patient and kind the Lord Jesus is, there comes a time when his wrath will be poured out. And all you've got to do is read from Genesis to the book of the Revelation, you will find that God deals with sin. And in the Old Testament, some of the things that happened were serious judgment against Israel, against individuals. Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead. So there comes a time when God's mercy runs out. And I would ask you to escape the judgment of God. Give your life to Jesus Christ. You'll never regret it. You say, well, folks won't like me. Jesus loves you. And if Jesus loves you, that's all you need. And there are many hundreds and thousands of people, I say millions of people in this world, that love the Lord Jesus. And they want you to love him also. Judgment's coming. Then I want you to know, number four, God is looking for sanctified saints. He's looking for sanctified saints. Now, I know that many of you are Christians. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some think that they're a Christian because they're not Jewish. But if you've truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a Christian. And what a place that is to be. But Christianity is more than just being a Christian. And I'm not knocking being a Christian. I am one. At 14 years old, my father put his finger in my face and he said, Daniel, I've never seen any indication that you're really saved. And I thought, I haven't either. I didn't say that to him. And off he went to go to work and I got thinking about that and I said, I'm lost. You see, when I was 6 years old, I came forward in the service because a message was preached on hell and I wanted to get saved, but nobody dealt with me and I got up from my knees thinking I was saved, but nothing changed. Nothing changed. At 14, my dad let me know, as far as I'm concerned, there's no evidence that you're saved. And that was the day of my salvation. I got my Bible out and I led myself to Christ. I was so excited. I'd forgotten the bad that I'd done that made my father say that to me. And when he came home that night, I said, hey, Dad, guess what I did? He goes, what, son? I said, I got saved. He said, we'll see. He didn't kill the fatted calf and give me a ring and put a robe on me? No. We'll see. And I want to tell you something, folks. We'll see whether you're really saved or not. Amen. Some of you need to show some evidence. Yes. So it's more than just being a Christian. How about being a disciple of Jesus? Jesus said you ought to be willing to leave everything for Christ. Amen. He even said the word hate. Hate your father, your mother, your sister, your brother. What he was trying to help us to understand is we're not to hate them as in a wicked hatred, but we're to love the Lord so much more. That's why the Lord Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the devil, right? But Jesus said, I am come that ye might have life. I call that eternal life. But that's not where he stopped. He said, and that ye might have it what? Have you experienced the Spirit-filled life? We're going to talk about the Spirit this week. We need to be filled with the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. And you can have it. You can have it. We can see revival this week. Yeah. It starts with you. It starts with me. I've got to be thoroughly right with God, or I can't tell you anything. Amen. Every one of us battles sin, right? But all of us can have victory over sin, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And oh, I want God's power. I want to see God do miracles. Is God a miracle-working God? He kind of hanged the world on nothing, didn't he? Yeah. And he wants to use us. I want to close by just giving you a couple thoughts right here in the latter part of this chapter. Go with me to verse 11. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all what? Holy conversation and godliness. That's what he's looking for from us. Looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God. Look at there in verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, he's talking to us, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in what? Are you at peace with God? Amen. Without spot. Without spot. You ladies, if you went out to eat, especially to an Italian restaurant, and you spilt some oil from that great salad and a little bit of that sauce from that great veal cutlet parmesan, you would not wear that dress again until it was cleaned. Correct? Well, he just wants you to be spotless. Amen? How about blameless? Oh, now you're going too far. Nobody's perfect, but we are forgiven. I don't like that bumper sticker. We aren't perfect. Now, we're perfect in the fact that we are complete in Christ, but none of us are living a perfect Christian life. It's impossible apart from the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not preaching sinless perfection, because I know me and I know you. But I am preaching that we could sin less. I didn't say we're sinless. We could sin less. And oh, what joy would come into the heart of God and to your own heart when you realize how much joy and pleasure he gets from you when you are living the abundant life. Our Heavenly Father,